Translation. Lord Nityananda Swarup formerly appeared as Lakshman and served Lord Ram as his younger brother. Responsively, Lord Nityananda Swarup formerly appeared as Lakshman and served Lord Ram as his younger brother. Purports. Among the sannyasis of the Shankara Sampradaya, there are different names for brahmacharis. Each sannyasi has some assistants, known as brahmacharis, who are called by different names according to the names of the sannyasi. Among such brahmacharis, there are four names: Svarupa, Ananda, Prakasha, and Chaitanya. Nityananda Prabhu maintained himself as a brahmachari. He never took sannyas. As a brahmachari, his name was Nityananda Svarupa. And therefore, the sannyasi under whom he was living must have been from the tirthas or the ashrams, because the assistant brahmachari of such a sannyasi is called Nityananda Svarup.
Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swamini Tinamine Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gauravani Pachanire Nida Vasesha Shunyavari Pastacha Deshatanire Sri Chaitanya Manobistam Stapatam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupakadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Parakamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavam Sri Chashi Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Ragantham Pitamtam Sajivam Sarvetam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Vishnu Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sagana Lalita Sri Vishaka Anvitang Cha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namosate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radha Vrindavanishvari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Panchakal Patrubius Jagripa Sindhu Bevacha Paditanam Pavanebio Vaishnavebio Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Sadashi Guru Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Trying to figure out whether it's hot or cold. I will try to, based on my meager realizations, offer some thoughts. So, it appears that, of course, this chapter is extolling the glories of Lord Nityananda. And it appears here his name is Lord Nityananda Swarupa due to his particular service to a particular school of sannyasis from the Shankara Sampradaya. We all know that this word Swarup actually we understand to be meaning as one's true form. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokula Nanda ki Jai Shri Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki. The word Swarup, as I said, we know means one's original true form, one's eternal constitutional position in relationship to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Obviously now,
what we're seeing in the mirror every day is obviously not our true form. It's something else. It's formed by something else. This is material society's mistake, colossal. Thinking that this bag of old bones put together, isn't it? This Prabhupada said this body is just a bag full of all sorts of undesirable substances put together in the forms of pumps, tubes, vessels, organs, etc. And under the spell of material existence, we accept this bag of old bones to be the self, my real self. And of course, then the whole materialistic program is to therefore aggrandize as much as possible the material body. That means moving in the opposite direction of where we're supposed to be going. We all know the human form of life. It is meant for understanding our true eternal nature. This is what, according to the scripture, separates human beings from animals, isn't it? The animals, they can only look without, isn't it? They cannot look within. An animal is only concerned and preoccupied with his external world. He can only understand what's going on the outside. He's not particularly developed when it comes to understanding his inner world. Right, if you get some animal like a cat or a dog, obviously their senses are super hypercharged. Can spot, see, move, smell, detect things that are completely nay or invisible to our senses. But that's his problem. He can only see what's going out on the outside. He cannot look on what's going on the inside. If an animal in the gardens here will understand where the food is, what the tree is, right, he'll understand where he is, his environment, but he doesn't understand he's in Watford. He doesn't understand that this is perhaps a very big temple and lots of people come here and there are cars in the car park and planes flying over in the sky. He doesn't understand. He has no idea at all of his internal world. So it's the same with us. It's clearly declared that when, as human beings, if all we're concerned about is our external world, then it's no better than Dvija Bandha Pashu, I believe, is the animals on two legs. It's clearly, whereas as Prabhupada would say, they're running around on four legs, and we're running around on four wheels. Animal life. Human life has a specific purpose. It has a specific purpose. Just recently, I was, I don't know if I could exactly call it a conversation, but I was approached by one Christian gentleman. Say no more, nothing wrong with a Christian. But he was trying to instruct me that God, you know, the reason why, for example, we eat meat is because it is said that we gave us dominion over these creatures. All right. Which is, of course, utter nonsense. As I tried to explain, This word dominion comes from the word domus, which means the king. Right? That's what dominion, from this Latin word domus, means the king. And in the Vedic text, I mean, I'm not very expert on the Bible. Well, not very expert on the Vedas either, but we have a similar sort of word called praja, isn't it? Praja means the citizens. Means all the citizens. And including in this citizenship is also the animals, not just the humans. So, of course, using their language, I asked, is this the case that the all-merciful, loving God, who's a compassionate ocean of mercy, who made all creatures great and small, who loves us all, who's come to save us, has made us human beings, the kings, the domis of the praja, the kings of the citizens, so we can go around killing, murdering, torturing and eating them? I don't think so. There is a purpose for the human life, as I explained, but this is definitely not it. Right? This is definitely not it. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, we have, there are many usages to this word svarup, actually. Lots of them. And one very interesting one in the Srimad Bhagavatam is known as svarupagamane. Svarupagamane. And Srila Prabhupada translates this, meaning, one should approach, or it means to approach your reality. The reality of who you are, what the world is. Sometimes we hear this when you talk about, well, in the real world, when we talk about the real world, then sometimes people will, devotees will sometimes object, or what is the real world? This is not the real world, is it? But what does, we have to understand that nothing that comes from Krishna is false. Krishna doesn't create false stuff. That's our business, not his. And what does Krishna say about people who think that this material world is false in the Bhagavad Gita? Says they're demonic. Anybody who thinks that this world and everything here is false is considered to be a demoniac mentality, because Krishna doesn't produce false items. So, approaching one's reality means to understand. Of course, another word which is used for self-realization is svarupa jnana. This is also used to, in the scriptures, denote the process of self-realization, svarupa jnana. Of course, meanings, understand who we are, what is the nature of this reality. Srila Prabhupada would also describe that part of self-realization also means understanding the nature of this material world. You gotta know where you're at, and you gotta know where you need to go. Yeah. You gotta know where we're at, we gotta know, you know. This material world is very real, and we are very here. Well, speak for myself, at least. This is, sometimes it's quite amazing, isn't it? When you meet people practicing spiritual life, they seem to think that they're just gonna, if they do something or the other at the end of this life, they're automatically going to go back to the spiritual world. But we have to understand that we made a conscious decision to come here, and if we're going to get back, then ultimately we're going to have to make a conscious decision to go back. It's not just kind of going to happen by accident, is it? So this is Swarupa Gyan, transcendental realization, understanding who am I, what is the nature of this world, what is the nature of the spiritual world, who is Krishna, what is my relationship with him, how to act in this relationship. All these things are known as Swarupa Gyan, the transcendental realization. Again, to approach our own reality. Is Lord Nityananda not our reality? He is the strength of the entire creation. According to the scriptures, he is the first expansion to create all the different activities of Lord Krishna. For Lord Krishna's pastimes, he serves as the first expansion. There is another interesting usage of this word Svarup in the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is King Rahugana in the fifth canto of the Bhagavatam, where he refers to Jad Bharata as Svarupa Tuchikrita Vigrahaya. This means that one, a person who has completely removed all contradictions from the scriptures due to self-realization, is known as Swarupa Tuchikrita Vigrahaya. So we can see Lord Nityananda Swarup definitely fits all of these descriptions. And the same, you've often heard this, of course, that in itself is a huge discussion. Somebody told me, actually, when I first joined the temple back then, the elder devotees sometimes used to say that you will only make spiritual progress in life, when you can remove all your contradictions from the books. But of course, that means you have to be reading them first, doesn't it? Right? We got to know the philosophy. We have to know the philosophy. Srila Prabhupada said, his devotees, we are students. And as I say to many people in the congregation, we are part of a very great spiritual lineage. And as thus we have received a great spiritual heritage, therefore you should be studying it, understanding it, knowing it, assimilating it, applying it, learning it, teaching it. It's very important. I always remember his holiness Shivaram Swami used to say at the time he was here that it's no good just showing up at university, sitting behind the desk saying, I'm here. Right? If you don't study the books, then you're not going to get the knowledge, you're not going to pass the test. I'd rather be like the person who goes to law school to study law, but he doesn't study the law books. You're not going to probably hire him, right? Because he doesn't know what he's doing. It's ridiculous, isn't it? A lawyer who doesn't know the law. Contradiction, isn't it? So, not even reading the books to begin with is a contradiction. Or a doctor who hasn't studied medicine.
Yeah, great, you didn't study the matter. Oh, great, come and look after my family's health, why don't you? So if we don't know, I mean, this is just my putrid, horrible, you know, example, but if we don't study the books, then why should Krishna hire us to save the souls? Because we don't know what we're doing, do we? Right? You want to get the mercy, you study the books. So not even studying the books in itself is a contradiction. As a devotee. And then, of course, how many times, I mean, these are just minor examples. Again, I'm sure there are many deeper discussions and understandings. But sometimes you hear, well, you know, this Bhagavad Gita, this Vedas, this, that, this is just a bunch of old books, right? Outdated bunch of old books, isn't it? Nobody follows the old ways anymore. I mean, the old ways. The old ways is a contradiction, isn't it? People have to understand that modern is something that has always existed. Right? It just means, modern just means that thing which exists outside of genuine knowledge, real eternal knowledge. So, we often hear that this is the timeless wisdom of the Bhagavad Gita, the timeless wisdom of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the timeless wisdom of the Veda. So how can, if it is not affected by time, then how can it be old? Right? It's a contradiction, isn't it? You're contradicting things here. You know, because we know that which is eternal is not actually afflicted by time. If it's got a beginning and it's got an end, then it's not eternal. Because by definition, eternal means it has no beginning and it has no end. It's like if we talk about the sun, we're talking about heat and light, isn't it? We talk about heat and light, you're talking about the fiery nature of the sun. If you're not talking, you know, if you're not talking about heat and light, then you're not talking about the sun anymore. You're not talking about fire elements anymore. You're talking about something else. So if we talk about something being old, you're not talking about something which is eternal. You're talking about something else. You're talking about something which is material. So, Svarupa Tuchi Krita Vigrahaya, a person who has completely removed all contradictions from the scriptures by manifesting his true self. Very interesting. Of course, when I believe it was Sanatan Goswami, he asked Lord Chaitanya, what is our actual swarup? As I said, this word swarup has many different usages, all relating to the same original knowledge, original self, original energy, original form, spiritual form. But he said, what is the actual swarup that is of our constitution? What is our constitutional swarup? Svarup Sakti. This is also used Svarupa Shakti. Shakti means power or energy, right? What is our Svarup Shakti? What is our personal power? Everybody wants to be powerful, isn't it? That's the thing when coming to the material world, well, thanks Krishna, I'll have your beauty. I'll have your fame. I'll have your knowledge, I'll have your wealth, I'll have everything. The renunciation, I'll let you keep that one because that's our mentality, isn't it? Material mentality. Thanks Krishna, I'm so generous. The renunciation bit you can keep, yeah. Svarup Sakti, what is our Svarupa? And Lord Chaitanya answers that the Svarupa of
The living entity is actually service. Again, sometimes when speaking to the congregation, I tell them that here at the Hare Krishna temple, as an Hare Krishna devotee, I believe in many things. Like Father Christmas, the Tooth Fairy, pixies, all the weird stuff. But one thing that we have an overriding belief in is that all success must come from service. Whether it's material or spiritual, because that's our constitutional position. That's our swarup. That's just kind of, I don't know whether you describe it as a law or a rule. That's just kind of the way it is. You know, we live in a world that is strictly governed by laws, principles, regardless, isn't it? Just like if the girl, the lady, wants to have a child, doesn't matter whether they're a Muslim, they're an Hindu, they're black, they're white, they're a theist, they're an atheist, right? What color they are, where they come from. If you're female and you want a child, you're waiting 9 months, or thereabouts. Why? Because we're all under the same direction. We're all under the same law, and there's only ultimately one lawmaker. You know, if your body is heavier than air, you're attracted to the center of the earth, isn't it? We call it gravity. You jump off the roof, it doesn't matter what you believe in, you're hitting the floor, full stop. Because that is the rules. Okay? That's just how it is. That's why we debate, we have to philosophize, all the moonies and pandits can come and figure it all out from time to time, all this. So the reality is that our swarup is service. And Srila Prabhupada talks about this right in the beginning of the Bhagavad Gita, Jaya Shirada Gukula Nanda Ki Jai. Our swarupa is actually offering service. Srila Prabhupada again gives that example, isn't it? That even if you want to become the prime minister or the president of the country, then your real job is to convince the populace that you are going to render the better service than everybody else. Of course, they make so many promises, and then when they get in office, obviously what they do is something completely different, but again, that's a different subject. Even if one wants to build a material enterprise, the success of that enterprise is completely dependent on what? The quality and quantity of service that you are able to offer the community. If nobody wants your service, then you've got a problem, isn't it? Because there's no success where there's no service. Of course, these days, people don't want to do any service. Isn't it? Welfare, lottery, something for nothing. Gambling. We'll get it for nothing. Forget the service. There's an opportunity to get it for nothing now. This is the problem, isn't it? Gambling creates a something for nothing mentality. But in reality, there is no such thing as something for nothing. If you understand the law of karma, you will understand there is never anything for nothing. Even though it may appear to be you, right? You reap what you sow. Full stop. We are where we are in life because of what we've sown in the past. You don't like it, well, try sowing something else. Because if you're ignorant, then you're not going to know what to do, is it? That's what Srila Prabhupada said. The materialists, they have no idea what should be done or what shouldn't be done. But that's okay. We've got the lottery. We can get it all for nothing anyway. But there is obviously somebody who is interested in accepting our service, and that's Lord Sri Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda. In fact, they came here for this very purpose, so we can offer this service. See, everyone is self-interested. Everyone is tuned into their very own favorite radio station, isn't it? WIIFM. What's in it for me? Self-interest. Right? But we don't understand, these people don't understand that the real self is actually Krishna. So if you're actually self-interested and you want to do everything for yourself, the real self, then really you should be doing it for Krishna. You might say, well, I'm not Krishna. Well, we know that. You won't be here. Or maybe you would, but not in this context. But because we are part of him, by offering all our service to that Supreme Self, then we become completely, eternally satisfied. This is the idea. When we come to the material world, this desire, or our original desire to serve, gets transformed into sense gratification. And that eternal, pure spiritual love is transformed into lust. You see. From divine love and service, we become transformed into some not so divine lust and sense gratification. But nobody, sometimes people say, isn't it? You know, not too many people interested, is it? It's like somebody said to me, I've been preaching now for about 12 months, but nobody seems really very interested. Well, I said, well, that's okay. I've been here for almost 20 years, and guess what? Nobody's interested. But you have to be interested. As long as you're interested, then it's okay, isn't it? We should be interested. Isn't it, people argue why become part of a religion? Tells you what to eat. Tells you what to wear. Tells you what hairstyle you have. Tells you what to read. Tells you what to do. Oh, nothing to do with that. I come from London, not the Congo. I'm intelligent, mate. Right? Of course, London's not a small-time place. You know. Very important. I think I've mentioned it before. There's one devotee who used to come here from the Gaudiya Math, and his guru was disciple of one of Srila Prabhupada's god brothers. I can't remember his name. Nobody we really know too well. And he heard this story from his spiritual master, who heard it from his, that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Goswami Maharaj at one time used to keep a map of London by his bed. And when the disciples from time to time, these particular sannyas disciples come in, he used to point at this map. He used to, we have to conquer this place. This is very important. This is London. We conquer it. Here we are. But the point is that it's just like, why do we have roads, for example? A road, a particular path, a track, is meant to get you from A to B safely and smoothly, isn't it? And therefore there's rules and there's some regulations along the road. that you have to follow to get there properly. That's why we ultimately do what we do, because, you know, if you want to go to the Midlands, there's a certain road you go up. It's called the M1. Where I come from, we used to say that the only good thing that came out of London was the M1. Because it comes out. It's a northerners for you, right? You remember? Of course, the Mayavadis, they got it different, right? It's all one anyway, because it don't matter what you do, you'd have to drive up the road. I mean, what would happen if you started driving across the fields and you went, what is it, right around the left, right around the roundabout instead of the left? And it's like in India when I was on, no rules on the road. Chaos. I was on a bus one time, we were driving up some highway, the guy missed the junction. What did he do? He stopped in the middle of the road and just decided to reverse all the way back down. I was thinking, my God, good job I was sitting in the middle of the bus, right, not at the back. Of course, you can't do that in England. If you did that here, you'd be finished. So you can't say it. Another contradiction, isn't it? We have to understand. So that's our path. It's a path that has been chalked out by the Lord that enables us to follow the path of ultimate spiritual realization through offering service. Jai.